The blood of Jesus washed away our sins before the sins that we've committed, and washed away the sins that you're going to commit. And here's how. It's His blood that makes us perfect before God. It's His blood that makes God able to look on us. It's the blood of Jesus that washed away sin. It's your obedience and your belief in Him that gets you to heaven. But the blood of Jesus, the power of the blood of Jesus, washes away sin, and before God, upon belief, makes you perfect before Him so that He can commune with you. You see, because God can't look upon sin except through the prism of the blood of Jesus. Except through the glasses of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus makes us perfect before God. Even in our sins, upon repentance, we remain able to be looked upon by our Father.
That's important stuff to know.
It's not even in my notes. All right, today. Today, we recap and conclude the Galatians series. So I'm going to go back through a little bit, and we're going to do a little bit of recap and conclusion. So if you haven't been here for the series, you're going to get the gist of it today. We're in the book of Galatians, if you haven't figured that out yet. In parts 1 and 2 of the series, Paul introduces himself. He gives us credentials and his authority as an apostle over the churches. Of the churches of Galatia. He then goes on to clear the air. He goes on to clear the air as people even in Galatia, even pillars in the faith, have regressed a bit. And they have polluted the message of the gospel. He warns that a polluted gospel is no gospel at all. And it even carries a curse for those who propagate it. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I am astonished that you are also quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so I now say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. So what is the gospel that was originally preached? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Hallelujah! That is the gospel. Christ died for our sins, just like He said He was going to. Christ died for our sins. Conquered death and hell. Washed away our sins with His blood.
and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and lives today. Still lives. It is very simply that gospel that we need to hang on to. This is very simply the truth, the crux of the matter, is this is the gospel that we need to hold on to. This is the gospel, basic, bold, and true. Adding requirements through ceremony, ritual, deed, or legalism changes the message. The message that we are simply yet wondrously saved by grace through faith in Jesus. And when you change that message, when you change that gospel, it is no longer gospel. It is a cursed message, cursed by God Himself. Once you change the message of God, when you start adding requirements, as they did back in this day, such as circumcision or ceremony or ritual, to the fact that we are saved by grace through faith in Jesus, when you change that message, you are in danger of being cursed to hell itself. You are. Paul calls out other apostles, including Peter, for falling for and propagating this false gospel of circumcision and regressing back to being saved by the law, which never saved anyone. He proceeded to confront and to straighten them out. These pillars of the faith, Peter, Barnabas, Titus, these were pillars of the faith that had been corrupted by a false gospel. Actually, they were corrupted by fear of persecution. And so they were propagating a false gospel because of the fear of persecution. And Paul called them out. He straightened them out with His Holy Spirit authority. Galatians 2, 20 and 21. Here he gives a bit of his authority. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? But the law doesn't save you. The law doesn't save you. In parts 3 and 4, Paul reiterates that salvation is through Christ alone. It can't be obtained by keeping the law. He says, "You foolish Galatians, who put you under a spell?" This is what he said to the Galatians in his letter. "You foolish Galatians, who put you under a spell? Who Changing God's gospel is truly an attack from hell itself. When the gospel of Jesus Christ is changed, it is truly an attack from Satan. So who put you under that spell? Satan. That's who. The law isn't evil. And I want you to understand that. That's not what Paul's trying to say. No, the law isn't evil. It just can't save you. The law is our tutor. We are to learn from it. The law is put there. It was put there originally as an escape from sin, but it also became our guide, if you will. We live by, let's say, the Ten Commandments specifically. The Ten Commandments, we learn to walk by the Spirit. We learn
right and wrong. Laws were, man's laws were written around the morality of God's laws of command. And we learn from them.
Then we learn to walk by the Spirit and how to counter the flesh. In chapter 5, verse 16, we're told, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh."
We have been in chapter 5 for the last several weeks on Wednesdays. And I have referred to these boards, actually only the one board since we started the next one last Wednesday. But I've referred to these from week to week generally because Paul tells us in the 5th chapter, what are the works of the flesh? How do we walk in the Spirit? One, by knowing our enemy and by knowing our God. And knowing the wiles of the enemy and the ways of the enemy, and knowing and utilizing that which he has provided for us to combat him. We know that the ways of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, chaos, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness and orgies. These are put out there. Notice the first one right on the list is sexual immorality. And almost everything else can be wrapped up inside of that. It is a tool of the enemy that works on man's heart and woman's heart. I say man generically, okay? Sexual immorality is a strong weapon of the enemy, because it's a weapon that goes straight to the heart. Sexual immorality can ruin a household in an instant. Sexual immorality can ruin a church in an instant. Chapter 5 tells us that the flesh and the Spirit are in constant battle. They are diametrically opposed to each other. Now we know the works of the flesh, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And notice that the top one is love. The first one, it starts with love, because without love you don't have any of the rest of those. And this is what happens the moment you give your heart to Christ. The moment that you first believe, every one of you have the fruit of the Spirit, because you're abiding in the mind. Because you live in the mind. You're walking with Jesus. Because you have truly surrendered your heart to Christ. This is where Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ. My old man is dead, and I have risen anew. And when I planted the old man, guess what? The seed of the Spirit was planted with him and arose new, fresh, alive in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." As we study these, it is hard not to think about these things. This is how the Holy Spirit works. You want to know what happens to you after you give your heart to Jesus? The Holy Spirit moves into your heart when you believe that Jesus died for your sins and rose again and lives today for you. When you believe that Jesus is God and He is your Savior, when you believe that He has redeemed you, and when you repent of your sin before Him, the Holy Spirit moves in. And who ever heard of somebody moving in? If you're not a motel, good grief. He doesn't stay for one night and leave. You are not Holiday Inn Express. I'm not a Christian. I'm just playing one on TV. No, that's not the way it works. When you truly give your heart to Christ, the Holy Spirit moves in. He is not a vagrant. He's not a wanderer. He is not passing through. He takes up residence in you. And as He takes up residence, He doesn't leave the fruit in the storage locker. As He moves in and takes up residence, you now have love. You can't have the Holy Spirit without love. God is love. God is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our God.
Hallelujah.
You can't have the Holy Spirit without love. When that love comes in, you won't have love without joy. You won't have joy without peace. You won't have peace without patience, or patience without kindness. You won't have kindness without goodness. And you won't have goodness without faithfulness. You won't have faithfulness without gentleness. You won't have gentleness without self-control. And as the Holy Spirit has moved in and brought this fruit with Him, this is, it's not like something that He's carrying around like this. That's not how it works. The Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I said the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when the Holy Spirit moves in, so does the fruit. Because that's who He is. And when we give our heart to Christ, so are you. So are you. So are you. Do you get this? People say, Well, the fruit just hasn't developed in me. I've got love and joy, but I don't have the rest of them. Boom! That's not how it works.
Amen.
That's the Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit, that's you.
Amen.
When you give your heart to Christ, you are those things.
Come on.
And guess what the Holy Spirit's going to do with you? As you have surrendered your heart to God, you will be mindful of these things. You won't walk away from these things, and you'll think about them. Even in the midst of an argument with your boss, even in the midst of being mad at your kids, even in the midst of doing something wrong.
Thank you, Jesus.
You are still these things. And the Holy Spirit will remind you. You are patience. You are patient when you're mad at that other driver on the road. You are patient when you're mad that your child just won't listen to you. You are patient because that's who God made you. You are kindness. When the beggar on the street that you don't know, when he's begging or she's begging, offer what you have, maybe. The Holy Spirit says, your kindness. Pastor, are you telling us that I can give money to every beggar? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you can be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Because that's who's going to tell you when and what to do. Right? I'm not the Holy Spirit unless He gives me His message and then I am His proxy. And so can you be. Right?
Right?
You can be an agent of the Holy Spirit. They did it this morning as we were praying. And I told the story about my dream. And then she says, I was just told that's not a dream, that's a vision.
Amen.
That's being an agent of the Holy Spirit. Each and every blood-bought, born-again Christian has the right to do.
Amen.
And the expectation, by golly, if the Holy Spirit gives you something to share, don't sit on it. Don't
cry. Right.
You are all of these things the moment that you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Am I preaching wrong? Or am I preaching right? I know I'm preaching right here. And I know that when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we are all these things. There's no reason that Paul put that in chapter 5. It's because the people had forgotten.
Amen.
Why did he need to list all these things of the flesh? The fruit of the flesh? The workings, the desires of the flesh? Why did he list them? Because they were at work in the churches of Galatia. And Paul needed to remind them, that's not who you were born to be in the Spirit. That's not who, as a matter of fact, you need to remember who you are. You are love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You are these things. And this is how you combat the works of the flesh. Because you'll have that desire, because that's what the flesh brings upon you, is the desire to do wrong. You'll have that desire to talk about your brother or sister in an improper manner. You'll have that desire to create a faction or a clique. I've said it before, I say it again. That's the word that I grew up hating as a child. It's clique in the church. There should not be cliques in the church. There should not be factions in the church. They don't belong. They don't belong anywhere. I said anywhere. Factions are a fruit of the flesh, and they're combated with the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things, hatred, jealousy, drunkenness, I think we need to be careful on the things that we say in public. We have a higher standard to carry. A friend of mine who was a spiritual leader in a group thought it was a great idea to post pictures of alcohol and tell everybody how drunk he was. I was so angry. I was so angry because, you know what, he was a leader. He was a leader in a Christian group. And then he posted on Facebook how drunk he was with the pictures of Jack Daniels all around him. And then I see this. Drunkenness.
Yeah.
Drunkenness. That's not produced by the Holy Spirit. Drunkenness is produced by the enemy, by the flesh. We're not going to get into the whole alcohol debate, but I'm here to tell you, if you're just drinking to get drunk, you're sinning.
Amen.
And the Bible makes it clear. The rest of it, I don't think you should be drinking at all. That's me. But drinking to get drunk? Yep. If you're drinking to get drunk, you are putting out a bad example. You're not letting your light shine at that moment. And I hope the Holy Spirit is telling you, this is wrong. This is wrong. I'm not just pointing out that one thing. These are all acts of the flesh, desires of the flesh, that every one of us will have. And they are combated by the fruit of the Spirit. And here's the thing, the deeper you dig in your relationship, the closer you get to God. How many of you are in a relationship with somebody else? Anybody? I know I'm in a relationship with my wife. Anybody in a relationship with somebody else? There's a couple hands. It doesn't have to be boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife relationship, but how many of you have relationships with people? My goodness, every hand should be up. Now, how does that relationship grow? Somebody just shout it out if you know the answer. How does that relationship grow?
Friendship.
And how does friendship happen?
Communication.
How does your relationship
with God grow?
Communication. Fire.
Do you understand that is, you think your relationship with your mother is your first relationship, but I'm here to tell you the relationship with the Father, with God, is everyone's first relationship. That's everyone's first relationship, is the relationship with God. I fully believe that God is communing with babies inside the womb. How else did John the Baptist leap for joy inside his mama's womb when he heard about Jesus?
Amen.
He was inside his mama's womb.
That's right.
First communication is with the Father.
That's right.
He wants to hear. Abba, Father. Daddy, Daddy. He is no different than every other dad out there. He wants first words to be Dad, Dad.
That's right.
Dad, Dad.
That's why the baby's first word is Dad, Dad.
There you go. Because that's how relationships grow. Parents, would your children move out, do you still want to hear from them? What happens to the relationship if you don't? Starts to grow cold. Husbands, what happens if you don't talk to your wives? Relationship grows cold. What happens if you don't talk to the Father? What happens if you're not in communication? This is the greatest detriment to every Christian ever, is they give their heart to Jesus, then they don't talk.
Amen.
They say they're in a relationship, but yet they never speak.
That's right.
A relationship without communication, is that really a relationship? We need to communicate with the Father. We need to talk to Him. We need to listen to Him. Wives, what's your number one complaint about your husband? Oh, come on. I can't be just my wife.
Never talk to me. Don't listen.
Then they don't listen. They don't talk to me. They don't listen. I've gotten so good at being able to look at my wife while not paying attention. I don't mean to do it. I'm just over 30 years I've become an idiot. Have you become an idiot with God? No. I laugh. It's true. Over 30 years I've become an idiot. You know, I used to sit and hang on every word that she had to say.
Oh, yeah.
And then I become proud of the fact that I can look at her and make her a bit better on the scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I became an idiot. And guess what? You can equal that with God.
Sure.
Oh, you can pray and you can look up. You can come to the altar and bow a knee. You can stand there with your arms raised. And they look at me. But if you have come to Christ, so that the world can look at you, guess what? You won't be
first. That's right.
Never did. How many of us have become idiots in our relationship with God and started trying to fool Him into thinking that we're listening to Him? We need to open up our spiritual ears. We need to grow closer. And we need to make a conscious effort to not just talk with Him, but to listen to Him. This is how that relationship grows. Then we learn to walk by the Spirit to counter the flesh. We need to live by the law of Christ.
Give your attention to the law over here. I'd like to draw your attention to the law. These were donated by Shirley Faye to this church. I love these banners. I look at them all the time. Guess what? They don't remind me. This, you all, is the law of Christ.
Amen.
Love God with all your heart. Love God with all your soul. Love God with all your mind. Love God with all your strength. And what's that last so very important one? Oh, come on, you can say that.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
That's a hard one.
It's not easy.
It is.
But you know what? As your relationship grows, The Holy Spirit will prompt you. Remember how you fulfill the law of Christ? Is love your neighbor as yourself.
I have an example from just this morning. I was shopping for the donut discussional. I go into the grocery store on Sunday mornings and I get donuts and fruit and whatever for the discussion. And I came to the checkout and the young lady's wearing a bandana across her nose and mouth. And I looked at her and I said, something to the effect of, "This is this a stick-up or are you not feeling well?" She said, "I'm not feeling well." And I can't remember her name. I had never heard it before. It starts with John. But I asked her name and I said, "May I pray with you?" And I could see her smile under the bandana.
Awesome.
And I said, "I'll tell you what, you keep working and I'll pray while you work." And so I prayed for her as she was checking me out. I mean, my food, you know. And then she thanked me when we were done. And then as I was walking out, I'm saying her name out loud. I'm saying her name so I would get here and not forget it. And as I walked out the door, a young man says, "Hey, brother, can you help me out with some money? I'm hungry, man. I'm hungry. I need to eat." Oh, yeah. And I turned around and I looked at him and I said, looked out in the box that I had and I said, "I pulled out a banana."
So there you go.
I said, "Would you like a banana?" I said, "I got some apples in here too." "No, no." I was like, "Well, you know what? I don't have money to give you." He's like, "All right, that's all right, that's all right." I'm like, "Okay." And I turned around and I started to walk away, and the Holy Spirit said, "Go back and pray with him."
Yeah.
So I turned around. "Honey, help me out."
He says
is his name. That's not right. I says is his name. I says. And I asked him his name. And I was able to pray with him. And you know what? He seemed a little different. But that was obedience. As you listen to the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. Just don't ignore him when he talks to you. He may take you out of your comfort zone, but don't ignore him. Your relationship will grow. Don't ignore him as he does take you out of your comfort zone. Do you think that the Israelites were comfortable walking between 2-mile-high walls of water?
That's right.
He will take us where we're not comfortable, but he'll take us where we need to go. I guarantee you the Israelites didn't care to be walking down a mile high. The Red Sea is a mile deep in its deepest spots. Think about this. There was a wall of water on each side of it, and the ground was perfectly dry. Would you be comfortable? Would you be safe? Please don't crash in on me. But he'll take us where we're not comfortable going, but he'll take us there safely. And he'll take us there true. Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ.
Carry each other's burdens. He is talking to the body of Christ here. But I think it's plain. As Miss Penny was up here this morning pouring her heart out before God for her grandson, it's plain that we need to carry that burden with her. Do you understand how important it is that as the body of Christ, this morning, I am Penny. And I am crying out for my grandson. This morning you are Penny, and you are crying out for your grandson.
Amen.
Because we carry each other's burdens as if they were our own, because we are one body, the body of Christ.
That's right.
Jerry's uncle, Danny, this morning I'm Jerry, carrying the burden of Danny. So this morning I'm Danny, and I carry that burden because I am the body of Christ. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Can we grasp that? Can we grasp that together and realize that these are the things that we need to be? And we all have the ability, because we are the body of Christ, because we believe. And don't let anybody draw you from the original gospel. Don't let anybody draw you from that.
Finally, we learn why we usually regress. And Paul pleads for us to stay strong and to stay the course. Galatians 6, 7 through 16. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Church, that's directly related to you. That's directly talking to you this morning. Let us not grow tired of doing good, for in the proper time, we're going to receive. We're going to get an abundant harvest. We're going to bring in an abundant harvest. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong in the family of believers. Do you catch that? Especially to your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let us do good to all people. But even more so to your brothers and sisters in Christ.
He wants to make this perfectly clear. He even says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand? Look how big I'm writing. I want to make this. Paul, the first one to use all caps while he was texting somebody. That's what he's saying. See what large letters I use? What happens when you get an email and it's all in caps? They're yelling at you. And you might contact, don't yell at me. But he's yelling at them. See what large letters I use? Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Those who want to impress people with the desires of the flesh are the ones who are perverting the gospel, trying to draw you away. The only reason that they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Doesn't say one of the reasons. When a man or woman of God changes the gospel to please the ears of the people, they're doing it because they're afraid of Christian persecution. Kind of explains a lot, doesn't it?
Amen.
Oh. Let's just say that everything's okay. While we're at it, why don't we just go ahead and bless marriages between same-sex couples? While we're at it, why don't we say that a boy can be a girl and a girl can be a boy? While we're at it, why don't we say it's okay to throw drunken parties? While we're at it, why don't we say that the addict can still go ahead and use? While we're at it, let's just change the whole message of God and live together in hell. Because that's what's going to happen.
Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, that they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. Verse 12 says, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. And then verse 14 says, may I never, ever boast. Well, it says the only reason that they do this is to avoid to be persecuted for the cross of Christ. That's the only reason. Because they're afraid of persecution. They're afraid of what the man's going to do to them. And then verse 14, it says, may I never, ever boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. May I never, ever boast except for my new life in Christ. May I never, ever boast except for my new life in Christ. I will share that with the world. Because that is the truth, the only true gospel. Let's stand this morning. Father, I lift you up this morning. You are so awesome, God. I thank you. This series has been so awesome to me. Father, as I've enjoyed bringing the message that you have provided, I pray that hearts have been opened and that the message has been received, Lord God. There is one true gospel, and that is Jesus Christ crucified, risen from the dead, and coming again soon. May we all be aware of the false gospel that is being spread in these the last days to please the itching ear. May we all be aware of the false gospel that is being spread in order to not be persecuted because of the cause of Christ. Because the persecution lasts but a moment, but our eternity is secure in you. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. I'd like to ask this morning if there be anybody here who has never given your heart to Christ. Yeah. I'd like to give you that opportunity. If you're here and you've never given your heart to Christ and you say, Pastor, it's time, I want to give my heart to Jesus. Would you raise your hand? And I'm going to give you that opportunity if there's anyone here that has been running. You haven't been living the way that you know that you need to live. If you're here this morning and you would like to tell Jesus, I'm coming home. If you'd like to come home to Jesus this morning, rededicate your life, give your heart back to Him. It's a great time for it. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Father God, I pray to you. We glory in your name. We lift you up. I pray that you keep us safe as we go our way. And I pray, Lord God, that you would bring us back tonight. Let us tell our friends about our Thanksgiving Friendship Sunday next week. Let us bring and fill this place just as the dream showed. Let us fill this place. Let us bring people in and tell them about Jesus. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.